Last time we saw the Gemara transitions from the focus on the Chefetz of Tefillin to the focus on Hanachas Tefillin, the focus on what we do with the Tefillin, on the bottom of the Lamed Hamid Beis. The first topic the Gemara raised was a question of the Bracha. And Lamed Hamid Beis, the Gemara was looking in general at a more general question of Birkas HaMitzvahs. The Gemara was talking about when you make the Bracha. That was the opening topic. Here, along with Vav and Aleph, the Gemara pivots to continue talking about the brachas, but moving from when you say the brachas to what you say, or more precisely, how many you say. I actually want to attack the sugya from the middle, because the Gemara quotes a member of Chista, and then the Gemara quotes against that a comment of Rabbi Yochanan. Then the Gemara works on the Yishuv. So let's actually begin from the middle of the sugya. Let's begin from Rabbi Yochanan, then we'll zoom out to see the context and the stira. The Gemara in the middle here, on the third line, the Gemara quotes that Rav Chiya b'Rei Rav Huna, Mishmei Rav Yochanan, Rav Chiya, the son of Rav Huna, quo sholach, Mishmei Rav Yochanan. He sent in the name of Rav Yochanan. Now, sent means presumably sent from one country to another. Rav Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yochanan was one of the great Amoraim of the first generation of Amorai Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the younger Talmidim of Yehuda HaNasi who remained in Eretz Yisrael. Rav and Shmuel were older Talmidim, and they left. Rav got smicha, then Rav and Shmuel left on shlichut. They left Eretz Yisrael. They went to take rabbinic positions in Bavel. Rav and Shmuel become the first generation of Amoraim in Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan remains in Eretz Yisrael, and he becomes the first, together with his Talmud Reish Lakish, the leading lights of the first generation of Amoraim Eretz Yisrael. So Shalach, Rav Chiya b'Rei Rav Huna, Mishmei Rav Yochanan. Rav Chiya b'Rei Rav Huna sent in the name of Yochanan sounds like, again, maybe from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, perhaps, or from one place to another place within Bavel. But this was this idea, this din, the name of Yochanan, Al Tefillah Shel Yad, Omer Baruch Asher Ki Yishom Sosav, V'Tzivanu L'Haniach Tefillin. On the Tefillin Shel Yad, you say the Bracha L'Haniach Tefillin. Al Tefillin Shel Rosh, Omer Baruch Asher Ki Yishom Sosav, V'Tzivanu Al Mitzvah. Okay, so as Ashkenazim, that doesn't surprise us. So when you put on Shal Yad, you say Al Aniach Tefillin. You put on Shal Rosh, you say Al Mitzvah Tefillin. We already know from the previous sugya that you're saying these brachas in advance of the Kshira, which again, Rabbeinu Yoh thinks the Kshira means literally you're tying the knots. We pass on the Talmud, it means tightening. The knots are already knotted, but you're tightening the Tefillin on your arm, you're tightening the Tefillin on your head. So in advance of tightening the Tefillin into place, you say this bracha or that bracha. In advance of, that's what it sounds like. Tefillin Shal Yad, you say Laniach Tefillin. Tefillin Shal Rosh, you say Al Mitzvah Tefillin. Here the Gemara quotes it, here meaning the Menachos Lamed Vav, the Gemara quotes this from B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan. It appears more or less in Maseches Brachas as well, near the very end of Maseches Brachas, the Daf Samach Amud Beis, where there's a long list of the Birkas HaShachar. It actually begins with going to sleep. Hanichnas lishan mitaso. The Gemara talks about Asher Yatzar. Then the Gemara talks Nichnas lishan mitaso. Fellows heading into sleep. You say Kriya Shema and you say Hamapil. The whole nusach of Hamapil. Then the Gemara goes on to talk about all the Birkas Hashachar. Ki Misar. You wake up. You say further in the wide lines of Brachas Dafsan Chabez. When you wake up, you say Elokai Hashem Hashem Asat to be Tahori, etc., etc., etc. The whole nusach of Bracha. Yibon Kalama Don Kol Hashemas Baruch Ata Hashem Achazin Hashem Osukar Mesim. What goes on to about the other brachas? Kishama called Tarnagol. You hear the call of the rooster. Open your eyes. Pokei achirvim. You stretch. Matir asurim, etc. Malbush arumim. Zokir kifufim, etc. 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 You put on your belt. You say Ozer Yisrael b'gvur. You cover your head. Ozer Yisrael b'sifara. Ki miyativ b'tzitzis. You say Asher kishama sosav v'tzivanu lisativ b'tzitzis. Ki manach tefillin adare. When you put the tefillin on your arm, dara is an arm. That's a classic example. One of the correspondences between Hebrew and Aramaic is that a Zion in Hebrew will often show up as a Dalid in Aramaic. Gold in Aramaic is Dahav instead of Zahav. And an arm in Aramaic is a Dara instead of a Zeroa. So Kimanach Tefillin Adar'e, when you put the tefillin on your arm, you say, Asher K'yisham Zatzav, it's Yivan L'haniach Tefillin. Areshe, when you put the tefillin on your head, you say, Asher K'yisham Zatzav, it's Yivan Al Mitzvah Tefillin. Okay, and the Gemara continues to talk about more morning brachas. So here the Gemara doesn't tell us, it's not clear who the Baal HaMemra is. In brachas daf samach and beis, but it appears among this very long list. And here in Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, we know that at least those two brachas, if nothing else, those two brachas are what Rav Chiya bar Rav Huna had sent name Rav Yechanan. Tefillin shal yad, you say laniach tefillin. Tefillin shal rosh, you say al mitzvah tefillin. It's important to note Shulchan Aruch talks about the fact that it's important for Ashkenazim to say lehaniach tefillin rather than lehaniach tefillin. Lehaniach, meiniach, is to cause something to rest. Maniach or lehaniach tefillin is to leave something behind, to abandon. But yanicheu began Eden, l'avdol shamra, Kadosh Baruch Hu left Adam there. So we're not just leaving the tefillin behind; we're bringing them to rest. We're being Meiniach the tefillin, not maniach the tefillin. Here, take a look. Shulchan Aruch writes, Yivarach lahaniach bekamas tachas ahei, v'lo bepatach v'bedagish. You say lahaniach rather than nahaniach. Mishabura quotes from Magen Avraham and others, lahaniach with a kamas is lashon hanacha. Lahaniach berachel be'zecha. Should be a familiar pasuk now. To cause bracha to rest in your home. Not bepatach, which is lashon aziva. That would be leaving it behind. Abandonment. Achichem echad hanichu iti. Yosef says to his brothers. Leave one of your brothers behind. Not hanichu, but hanichu. Okay. So you say lahaniach tefillin rather than lahaniach tefillin. Again, those who use the Sephardic pronunciation, there'd be very subtle differences here. But if your pronunciation is Ashkenazis, so it's with a komatz rather than with a patach. One other comment about the language of the bracha. Take a look at an intriguing, on the page of the tour, the Bach asks a larger question. Rather than just a question of what the nekudos are, he wants to know about that word, lahaniach tefillin. Yeah, the tour. Here we are in Simen Chafei. We had seen earlier the tour speaks about the kavana one needs to have in putting the tefillin. This is the first Simen Hilchos Tefillin, and after he talks about the significance of tefillin, the kavana of tefillin, he begins to get into the details. And as is the case with the Gemara, the first detail, the first major detail is brachas. V'yaniach sheyat chila v'yivarach asher kedishanu. And then the shalrosh. After you put in the shalrosh, and on that you make the bracha. So the Bach wants to know a lot. This Bach has a lot to say about this. Forget about the nekudas. Why is it lahaniach tefillin? Why not likshar tefillin? Kidichsiv ukshar tam. After all, the language of the pasuk is not v'hinachtam. The language of the pasuk is ukshartam. Kamosha tiknu, and the Bach wants to know, well, who says that the language of the pasuk is so significant? Kamosha tiknu leishiv basuka shem dechziv basukas teishvu al netilas lulav medechziv ulakachtem lechem lehisatev patzitzis medechziv gedilim tasalcha arba kanfos ksuscha asher techaseba. Let's just understand what happened over the course of the last couple of lines. He says, look at three other Birkas HaMitzvah, and let's see where those verbs come from. Leishev Basuka comes from Basuka's Teshu. So there's directly the very same verb. Now, Ulakachtem Lachem, we don't say Al-Lakichas Luluv, we say Al-Natilas Luluv. So what point do you think the Bach is making? Well, it's not exactly the same word. Or l'hisatef betzitzis. The Torah doesn't say asher tisatfu ba. It says asher tichase ba. But at least what you have in those cases, if not the same word, at least think about lekicha and etila. So what you have, I think, is at least the same meaning. I mean, perhaps netila is a Mishnaic Hebrew as opposed to lekicha, which is biblical Hebrew, but to be no-tel means to take the lulav. To be lokech the lulav, to be no-tel the lulav. Lehisatef is a similar meaning to lehiskasos, or shetichaseba, to wrap, to cover yourself, to wrap yourself in the talus. So what the Bach is saying is if you survey Birkas HaMitzvahs, typically the terminology will either be the same as or patterned after the terminology of the Pasuk in Chumash. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Schechter is fond of noting that there's a Rishon who wrote a Sefer built around this. The Sefer Abudraham, the Sefer on the Siddur from a Rishon who was a Talmud of the Ramban, I believe. And one of the major premises of his Sefer is that the language of Brachas tends to be built on, modeled after the language of Psukim in the Tanakh. And he often, a great example coming up very soon, the end of upcoming Haftarah, Yeshayahu says, Rifa'eni Hashem ve'ei rafei, Hoshi'eni ve'iva she'ya, ki sehila si'ata. Almost identical to the language of the Bracha Rifa'enu, just a switch from singular to plural. So that's a particularly noticeable example of the way in which Chazal in general patterned brachos as much as possible after the phraseology of Tanakh. The Bach is pointing us specifically, and then the Abu Draham takes you through the Siddur and through the brachos, and you say, looking for, you know, what's the source in Tanakh for this turn of phrase, what's the source in Tanakh for that turn of phrase. It's not always as obvious as Rifa'eni Hashem Ve'i Rafei. And then the Bach is saying more specifically, not brachos in general, but Birkas HaMitzvahs, either it's the same language as the Chumash, or at least translated into Mishnaic Hebrew, the same meaning. The same meaning. To sit in the sukkah, to take the lulav, to hold the lulav, to wrap yourself, to cover yourself in the tzitzis. So hachanayim b'tfilin. So to tfilin, if the language of the pasuk is ukshartam, so we would have expected likshar tfilin, al kshiras tfilin. Maybe some other word that means to tie, but not lehaniach. To bring your tefillin to rest? It sounds like it's a different angle. So the Bach wonders, you know, Rabbi Yochanan tells us, and the Stam of the Gemara in Brachas tells us, they say, laniach tefillin, well, where did Chazal get that from? And the truth is, I came across this past Shabbos, the Ksava, I recently bought myself a copy of the Ksava Kabbalah. Ksava Kabbalah is a Sefer on Chumash by Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, a German Rav, I believe, of Konigsberg, late 1700s, early 1800s. Similar in certain ways to Rav Hirsch and some of the other Rabbanim of that era, the Malbim. Looking carefully to see the sources for the words or the comments of Chazal within the nuances of the language of the Psukim themselves. Very, very, very rich, very creative. A fascinating, fascinating thinker, fascinating sefer. Yerakusi Mecklenburg Aksava Kabbal. In Parshas Vaschanon, he actually wonders, sort of parallel to the Bach wonders, why is the Lahaniach Tfilin instead of Likshar Tfilin? He wonders, why is it Tfilin? What's this word Tfilin? Why not say Lahaniach Totafos? I mean, Os, Zikaron. Why are Chazal using this newfangled word tefillin? Why not use totafos in the bracha? So he had a fascinating point. He says, and it's actually in certain ways parallel to this Bach. The Ksava Kabbalah says, he says, you know, there's some discussion among some of the earlier grammarians or philologists, what Where does the word tefillin come from? What does it even mean? Is it related to the word palal, plilim, judgment? Is it related to the word tofal or pesil, like naftuli elakim niftalti? Is it has to do with connection? He says he thinks it has to do with vihifla, hafla'a, to speak clearly, to demonstrate. Tefillin are things which demonstrate, like a pele is a wonder, a nace, which demonstrates HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillin are a demonstration, a pronouncement of here's what we believe in. Here's what we believe in, and we're demonstrating our connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the tefillin. So he says, that's what the tefillin are meant to accomplish, and that's why the bracha uses the term tefillin, which is what the Bach seems to say. The Nusach HaBracha captures what the mitzvah is meant to accomplish. Yesh Lomar, Iker mitzvah is tefillin, Hushiyu Munachan Alav Kol Hayom. The goal is for them to be there. Imayim Mivarech Likshar, Hava Mashma, the Masha Kosher at tefillin, Al Yado, Al Rosh, Rega Achas, Achach Mesirin, Yotzei Chavasa. You would have thought if the bracha would have been Likshar tefillin, it would sound like it's just a mitzvah to tie it on. Tie it on, and you're done. Just a Chovas Maisa. Once you did it, you check the box, and there's no point in leaving it there. Lakach tiknu lahaniach, the Bach writes. That's why Chazal chose the word lahaniach. They deliberately switched from the likshar of Chumash to lahaniach. Demashashu munachim alav shah achaz al kapanim. That communicates it's meant to stay there. Yeah. Yeah, I like that nusach that you see from here. So one way of abstracting what the Bach is saying is that although the brachas are built on Tarash B'chsav, they also incorporate Tarash Va'peh. Yeah, that's a very sharp point. The brachas themselves are Tarash Va'peh. The Gemara indicates that the Isur against committing Tarash Va'peh to writing, or the hesitancy to commit Tarash Va'peh to writing, included brachas as well, nusach brachas as well. That's why Gemara Meshabbos talks about not writing brachos down. Writing a siddur, it falls under the Rabbi Yuhanasi's movement towards Esas Hos Hashem HaFeir Sarasecha. We're going to start to write the Tarash Va'peh. So the brachas themselves are Tarash Va'peh, and you're saying they actually are also an expression, and they encapsulate ideas of Tarash Va'peh. Yeah, that's a good point. And I think, yeah. Right. That's a good point. Right, I was thinking of the Bach as sort of highlighting the difference between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyum Mitzvah. The Maisa Mitzvah might be to tie it on, but the Mitzvah is meant to get you. You're not merely meant to tie it on. And that's why I was thinking of the Ksava Kabbalah. The Bach is looking at the word Lahaniach, supposed to Likshar. Kabbalah, as we said before, look at the word Tefillin, as opposed to Totafos or Osu Zikaron, also sort of an extension of that in the sense that he's looking at what the tefillin are meant to accomplish. What the tefillin are meant to accomplish, the hafla'a. But you're saying, right, all of this is an expression of Tarash Va'peh. It's not just restating, the Chumash said do this. We don't necessarily just restate in the bracha, I'm doing this. We give some of the color and texture that the Tarash Va'peh adds, and some of the context and some of the sense of purpose Tarash Va'peh adds. Yeah, that's a very interesting way of looking at it. Right, that's true. Right, even Lehis Hatev is more than just a translation of Techaseh. Right, it captures that you're covering your head and your body, that you're hooding yourself also. Yeah, that is a good point. That is a good point, right? It is in that sense, in that broader sense, it's Torah Shvapeh, because it is teaching, it's incorporating the Perush of the mitzvah, give a sense of how you actually actualize the mitzvah. Yeah. I would add one more point to this context before we come back to the Gemara, which is to think about what the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah are saying as one extreme, with the Bach is saying the other extreme, in the sense that Shulchan Aruch was saying, don't say lahaniach. Don't say to just leave it there. You're placing it. You're bringing it to rest. You're not just leaving it there. On the other extreme, the Bach is saying, don't say likshar. Likshar would sound like just tie it on and take it off. Done. No. Lahaniach means you actually, it's going to be there for a period of time. Not lahaniach, which sounds like you're just, you know, saying it up and walking away. It needs to sort of putting together the comment of the Shulchan Aruch with the comment of the Bach. There's an interesting dynamic here. It needs to stay there, but in a mindful way. You're not tying on and just taking it off. It's not likshar, but then it's not lahaniach. It's not just being left there, it's being placed there. So it has it's a mitzvah that has extent in time, but there's need for ongoing thoughtfulness, which is something we're going to come to B'li Neder later on the Amud. Is that kavana is very key, and there is an iser against hesach hadas. It needs to be an ongoing awareness of the tefillin, even though it's not a momentary mitzvah. It's not just a momentary mitzvah, but there's an ongoing leaving the tefillin there. But it's not merely leaving in a passive sense; it's having the tefillin there. Lahaniach tefillin. So with that, so far what we saw is the middle line of the Gemara. The comment of Rabbi Yochanan in Lamed Vav Amal from Menachos, which is also part of the Stam de Gemara Brachas Daf Samach Amid Beis. Lahaniach Tfilin on the Shal Yad and Al Mitzvah Tfilin on the Shalosh. And we had a chance so far to see the Ha'oros that the Poskim make on the Nusach of the Bracha. The Ksava Kabbalah about the word Tfilin, the use of the word tefillin, and the Shulchan Aruch saying lahaniach as opposed to lahaniach, while the Bach is pointing out it's also lahaniach as opposed to likshar. Now let's expand our scope. And let's see this comment of Rabbi Yochanan within the context, the setting that the Gemara places it. Because the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yochanan as a counterpoint to Rav Chisda. We start with Rav Chisda, top of Lamvav and Alv. Let's take a look and let's see where this takes us. And let's at least see the beginning of the discussion in Rishon is going to emerge here. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said the following. Sach ben tefila le tefila. If a Jew spoke that word sach, samach ches, and it's an example where you have a samach in place of a sin. We would recognize it more with a sin, like sicha, to speak. Sach ben tefila le tefila. A person started to converse in between one tefillah and the other tefillah. Rashi says, Bein shal yad l'shal rosh. We don't mean tefillos, prayers. We mean tefillin. Tefillah here is the singular of tefillin. I spoke in between the shal yad and the shal rosh. Meaning what? The siper kodim shi'aniach osan al shal rosh. Rashi explains, what we mean here is, I put on the shal yad, and then I start schmoozing with my neighbor, and then I put on the shal rosh. So Rav Chisda says, if you did that, chozer mevarich. You got to go back and say a bracha again. Got to go back and say the bracha again. What does that mean, Stephen? Shalom Aleichem. Welcome in. What does it mean, the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph? So it sounds like I already said a bracha, and now I have to repeat the bracha because I'm adding a bracha that I would otherwise not have had to say because I spoke. That's what the Gemara says. Sach in, lo sach lo. If I spoke, then I have to make a bracha on the Sharosh. But otherwise, I would not have to make a bracha on the Sharosh. So the simple understanding of Chisda is that normally you only make one bracha on tefillin, you only make a bracha on the Shayad, and that covers both. And if you spoke between Shayad and Sharosh, then you cut off, you create a hefsek, you cut away the Hanacha Sharosh from the bracha that you said before the Shayad, so now you have to make a new bracha on the Sharosh. Chozer Mevarech. So that's why, and it's in that context that the Gemara raised as a problem the language, the din of Rabbi Yochanan, the letter. V'ashalach Rav Chiya b'rei d'Rechuna mishmei d'Rabbi Yochanan. Atzvil shayyan mevarach baruch hasher kisham sot zivitzivan laniach tzvon. Atzvil shayrosh mevare omer baruch hasher kisham sot zivitzivanu al mitzvot tzvon. And that's a problem. That's a problem because Rav Chista said you only say brach and shayrosh if you spoke. But normally the brach and shayyad covers both. Rabbi Yochanan didn't make it sound that way. Rabbi Yochanan said, standard, here's a brach and the shayrosh. Which one is it? You always say a brach on the sharosh, the way Rabbi Yochanan indicates, or do you only say a brach on the sharosh in exceptional situations? A person spoke in between shayat sharosh. He was mafsik, so now he has to say a brach on the sharosh. Is it brach on the sharosh exceptional, only b'makom hefsek, or is it standard? So that is a steer. We could have said to machlokas. We could have said some machlokas amram. The Gemara did not find that compelling. So the Gemara instead says, no, we have a teretz. As a matter of fact, it's a teretz offered by two amram from whom we don't often hear, though here we are hearing them together more than once. Abai v'rava da'amir travayu. There you go. Once again, Abai v'rava both say what they both say. Lo sach mevarach achas, sach mevarach shtayim. No. It's not a machlokas between Rav Chista and Rabbi Yochanan. Two different cases. One is sach and one is lo sach. Well, we know there are two different cases. That's what Rav Chista had said. So what's his teretz? He said, well, if you're sach, you make one bracha. If you're lo sach, you make two brachas. How does that work? What does that mean? So here, there's a difference between how different we show and read the Gemara. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Lo sach, ein mevarach ela al shayad bilvad. If you didn't speak, v'achachas, you only make one bracha. What's the one bracha? Al shayad. Then you just say, laniach tefillin. Make a laniach tefillin, you put on the shayad, you put on the sharosh, you're done. And the laniach tefillin covers you for both, as long as no hefsek. But sach mevarach shtayim, if you spoke, then you have to make two brachas, kedir shalach Reb Chiya, says Rashi. As Reb Chiya had sent. That's the letter Reb Chiya had sent. Now, the letter Reb Chiya sent was talking about a case of sach. For Rashi, that's the Gemara's answer. Normally, Reb Chista said, if you speak, you have to make another bracha. You don't speak, you don't make another bracha. I, Rabbi Yochanan, said, here's the bracha you make in Sharosh. So Abaye, so Rashi says, the Gemara answered, yeah, if you have to make a bracha on the Sharosh, here's what you say. But it's not standard, it's exceptional. In the rare cases, you have to make a bracha on the Sharosh, here's the bracha you're going to say. That's how Rashi read the Gemara. Sach mevarach achas. So, lo sach mevarach achas, sach mevarach shtayim. If you didn't speak, you only have to make one bracha on your tefillin. If you spoke, you're going to have to make a second bracha because you're making a bracha on the sharosh. On the sharosh as well. Anything strike you as odd about Rashi Shita? Ooh. Oh. So, Nathan's pointing out The Rav Chista's language was if you spoke, go back and say the bracha. And the reason why that bothers you is Gevaldik. Chozer Mavarach sounds like go back and say it again. Repeat the same thing. Whereas here you're not. If you spoke, then you're not going to say Laniach a second time. You're going to say Al Mitzvahs. So Nathan is pointing out that there's a difficulty in the language of the Gemara. The difficulty of Rashi Pshat in the Mi Gemara, in terms of the Diuk Lashonos of the Gemara. That problem, by the way, also points us to a second allied question in terms of the content of the Gemara, the content of the din. According to Rashi, it's not only that Chozer Baruch would make it sound as though he's saying the same bracha twice. One wonders, Why don't you say the same bracha twice? I don't understand. Normally I say lahaniach tefillin on the shayat, and then I put on the shayat, and then I put on the sharosh, and one bracha covers both. Okay. So if you're mafsik, so what do you think you would say on the sharosh? What's the bracha on the sharosh? Lahaniach tefillin. No? Normally you say lahaniach tefillin, it covers both shayat and sharosh. It sounds like that is the bracha. So if I have to say, if I was mafsik before the Sharosh, say laniach tefillin, why don't I say laniach tefillin again? What does this mean? Chazal were masakin a special nusach habracha just for cases where I did the wrong thing and I was mafsik? Very unusual. Striking. And again, as Nathan pointed out, the Rav Chisda's language sounds like you talk Arapi in the bracha, Chos Rorach, and logically that's what you would expect. Logically, that's what you would expect. So Rashi is Shver Misvar Migemara in terms of the language, and is Shver Misvara. Yeah. Right. So Rav Chisda, you're saying, Rav Chisda makes it sound like this is what you always do. Now, it's a little bit, it does sound that way here. Although I could push back. I could say, I don't know. When you make a bracha sharosh, here's what you say. Normally, you'll make a bracha on the sharosh. But if you make a bracha sharosh, here's what you say. But again, maybe I would have expected slightly different language, but I could push back. But there is a way to make your kasha aria even stronger. And as you're saying, well, Yochanan sounds like you always do. This is universal. It sounds that way somewhat here. It very much sounds universal. We said before that this appears in brachos as part of a longer list of Birkas HaShachar. So there especially, this is a whole slew of activities. Remember we said, when you get ready to go to bed, you say, Hamapil. When you wake up in the morning, you say, Elokai Neshama. And then you hear your natural alarm clock, and you say, Enosa Sechivini. You open your eyes, you say, Pekei Achivrim. You get in dress, say, Malbush Arumim. So and so. When you put on your shoe, when you stretch, when you put your feet on the ground, when you put on your shoes, when you put on your belt, you put on your hat, and so on and so forth. And you put on tzitzis, l'satif b'tzitzis. You put on shayad, l'aniach tefillin. You put on the shalrosh, al mitzvah tefillin. You wash your tefillin z'dayim, al tefillin z'dayim, and so on and so forth. So that sounds a lot. Like this is just a standard sequence of activities. Now Tosas and Menachas, It's interesting. Tosas and Menachas here on Lamavav Nav Dimaschal Lo, he just says Rashi says this to me on Tamai different shot, which we're gonna have to get to. But he doesn't really explain why. If you look in Brachos, he quotes the Machlokas and he actually explains. Let's take a look. Here, the bottom Tosas on Brachos Daf Samach and Beis. Asher Kiddushim Sasav V'Tzivanu Laniach Tefillin. So first he begins by saying, Kevan D'Tchilas Hanachaso Bezro'o Yesh Levarech Lahaniach. When you begin to put it on, you say lehaniach. Aval b'shalrosh, on the shalrosh, you say a different bracha. Mevarach al mitzvahs. V'lo lehaniach. Why? Shekrai hischil v'heniach echma. You already began. So you're not going to say lehaniach. And that's based on what? It's based on the Gemara in Psachim Dav Zayin Beis discusses when do you say birkas hamitzvah with a lamed and when with the word al. You say, Al Natilas Lulav, but Lishmoa Kol Shofar. Al Bir Chametz. The Gemara discussed here, Psachim Dav Zayin. Should we say Al Bir Chametz or should we say Levair Es HaChametz? The Gemara gets into sort of a broader, larger discussion about Birkas HaMitzvah in general. When do you say Le with a Lam and when do you say Al? So one of the points the Gemara makes is that using the word Le, using the verb begins with a Lam, it gives you more of an active sense and a future perspective. Lishmo kol shofar sounds like I'm about to. We will to hear it. So lehaniach tefillin, Tosas is quoting, means you're going to put on the tefillin. Al mitzvah tefillin may indicate you already got started. It's not all future. Where Tosas get from the truth is it's Rashi. Rashi says it right here. Lehaniach b'shalyad maschil lehaniach. With the shalyad, you're beginning. Al mitzvahs achshav go meras hamitzvah. Okay. But again, so that's what Yochanan said, and but he says Tosas back in Brachas points to our sugya Perak HaKometz Lo Sach Mevarach Achas Sach Mevarach Shtayim Maskana of the sugya by in Rava it quotes Rashi Pirush HaKuntres, and here he actually, unlike in Menachos, whereas we saw he just says Rashi says this pshat, Rav Tam says that pshat, doesn't explain why. Here he begins to push back on Rashi. You begin to hear the question. It's a dochak. This is hard to swallow. You only need the two brachos when you did an avera. Now he doesn't explain what the dochak is. And again, we had several great explanations, several great suggestions, and he may mean all of them, right? Number one, it's hard to understand why the din should be true. Why would Chazal have been misaken a new bracha that you only use when you, did not aver. Really? Chazal misaken bracha just for the exceptional case we did the wrong thing? Kishasach v'av avera. And Arya, as you pointed out, not only is the din difficult, but Rabbi Yochanan's language, and even more so, the language of the Gemara in Brachos, sounds like this is standard. And then again, we also had Nathan's question, that looking back at Rav Chista, it sounds like when you repeat, you're repeating the same thing. So all three of those questions converge and are solved by Rabbi Yochanan's alternative pshat. Tosus believes that we have no answer for Rashi, and Rashi is intractably difficult, and the only solution is to reject Pirush Rashi and to give an alternative instead. Yeah, Howie. Yeah, that's a good question. You're saying even if we do make a Rav Tam, we're about to see Rav Tam says what's familiar to us as Ashkenazim. The Sfaradim. Good point. Right. So. The one mitzvah, two mitzvah question may or may not be lurking here. We're going to see that it actually, it would be tempting to say, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, it would be tempting to say that Rashi, who says you make one brach on both, he holds that there's only one mitzvah of tefillin, and shayat shalosh are a single mitzvah, and Ben Tam, who's about to say you always make two brachas, the Ashkenazi approach, he holds that they're two separate mitzvahs. Now, that's not actually the case, because the Rambam is the one who's clearest that Shalyan and Sharosh are two separate mitzvahs. And yet, as we'll see, he holds like Rashi, they only make one bracha. That's why the reason why Sfaradim only make one bracha is because not because of the position of Rashi, but because it's the position of the Rif and the Rambam. Yeah. Now the fact that Right, so Ari, yeah, it's a good question. Why, if you're going to say new bracha, why not say lahaniach for both? So Ari had been pointing to the fact that Rashi and Menachas and Tosas here in brachas had said lahaniach implies more of a upcoming future focus, while al mitzvahs sounds like it's not as much in the future. So if you're beginning, if the entire mitzvah is ahead of you, say lahaniach. If it's part of the mitzvah behind you, you say all mitzvahs. But again, Rashi says only, you normally don't make any bracha at all. Now, as an aside, that comment of Rashi might help us to answer one of the questions. Why would Chazal create a new nusach ha-bracha? For a bracha, I'm only saying occasionally. I'm only saying a bracha on the Rosh at all when I'm doing an Aveira. So you could say, well, because at that point, it's more grammatically appropriate to say Lahaniach as opposed to saying Al Mitzvahs. I want to show you, however, Mitzvah, next time we'll go on to take a look at Rabbeinu Tam's approach, and we're going to see Rabbeinu Tam solves the kashas that we have on Rashi, but his approach also raises other, perhaps more challenging questions. And Rabbeinu Tam, in a certain sense, may be more difficult than Rashi. We'll have to see. But for now, for tonight, I want to just close by considering Rabbeinu Tam thought that the Rashi is insoluble and the only solution is to offer an alternative shot. I want to show you, I mentioned before that the Rambam holds like Rashi. Let's take a look for a moment inside at the Rambam. Okay, so here we are. Let's close our first chabur on the sugya by just appreciating Rashi some more and taking a look at the way the Rambam presents it. It's here again. So as I mentioned before, the Rambam, Riff and the Rambam are aligned with Rashi. He writes, when in Perek Dal HaLachahei, when you put on both tefillin, you say, Bracha Achas, Lahaniach tefillin, B'kosho Shal Yad V'achach Miyah Shal Rosh. So normally you only make laniach and that's it on both. It goes on to say in Perek Halachavav, Mishaberech laniach tefillin v'kasher shel yad, it's usher to speak. You shouldn't be usher lo lasaper. Achinach sharosh, if him sacher is avera, and you have to say al mitzvah tefillin yisharosh. Okay. Right? So from the middle of Halacha Hey into Vav, the Rambam sounds essentially the same as Rashi. However, you notice that we jumped into the middle. The way the Rama contextualizes this is fascinating. Halacha Dalad. He says, Tfil Sharosh Enim Akeva Shayad Shayenim Akeva Shalrosh. Quotes the Mishnah, the fourth parak of Menachos, that Shalrosh and Shayad are independent. You can have one without the other. In other words, the person has some sort of a cast on his head. He's unable to put on Shalrosh, or his Shalrosh ripped, or his pasul, and there's no other Jews around from whom he can borrow tefillin. So just put on Shayad, and vice versa. For some reason, you can't put on Shayad. Just put on the Sharosh. That's the Mishnah. The Rambam comments here and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, what we were talking about before, the Pnei Shehein Shtei Mitzvahs. Zulias and Zulias. The Rambam understands that if two things are not ma'akir one another, that is an indication that they are two independent mitzvahs. Right? Esther without Lulav is nothing. The Parsha of Kadesh, the Parsha of Ha'im Shema'avai Kivyecha, nothing. Mishnah is in the third parak of Menachos, that's because that's a single mitzvah. But to have a sharosh without shalyad, just like talis without tefillin, tefillin without talis, you can have one without the other, even though ideally during the week you have both. But they're two separate mitzvahs. Even shalyad sharosh, they're not, one is not ma'akev the other. Why? Because they're two separate mitzvahs. And then look at how he talks about them. Now that he told us they're two separate mitzvahs, he says, v'keitza mevarchin, how do you say the brach on tefillin? Al sharosh mevarech asher gishom sotz v'tzivanu al mitzvah tefillin. On the sharosh you say al mitzvah tefillin. Ashal Yad, you say, Laniach Tefillin. Fascinating. Now I'm backwards. Number two, he begins by saying, there's a bracha on the Sharosh, there's a bracha on the Yad. And then watch what, now that's very strange, because we thought the Rambam holds like Rashi, so watch what he does it. And he begins with that. There's a bracha for each, with Rabbi Yochanan. But then he says, if you're only putting on one, so then, if you just put on the Shayad, you make the Laniach. If you just put on Sharosh, you make Al Mitzvahs. If you're putting on both, so then you make one bracha to cover both. Fascinating. That was fundamentally the two separate brachas, mitzvahs. Here we come back to what Howie said. The two separate mitzvahs, each one has a bracha which fits. It's just that if you're doing the two mitzvahs together, then one bracha covers both. That's what the Tosefta says. That if you're doing multiple iterations of a mitzvah, you're checking multiple rooms, you're doing shechting multiple animals, you make one bracha to cover all of them. Or even if you're doing separate mitzvahs, but they can be covered by a single bracha. If you're going to be mafresh challah and you're going to be mafresh truma gedola, you just make one bracha al hafrashas truma. Because that bracha can cover these two separate but related mitzvahs. So that's what's going on here. Fundamentally, there's a bracha for shayad and a bracha for shalosh. That's what the Rambam presents it. Except 99 times out of 100, it's irrelevant because you're doing two mitzvahs one after the other, and one bracha could cover both, so it's a bracha shayna tzricha, or worse, to say the al mitzvah tefillin, the sharosh, if your ray could be covered by the bracha laniach on the shayat. But if you were just putting on sharosh, you would say al mitzvah tefillin. Or, if you were mafsik, you put on both, but you start talking. Okay, so now I have to restart. And once I'm restarting, once I make a bracha on the Sharosh, for the Sharosh alone, the most appropriate bracha is Al Mitzvah Tefillin. It usually doesn't come up, says the Rambam. But if you put on just Sharosh, or if you put on both, you're mafsik, then you would make a bracha of Al Mitzvah Tefillin. So that helps us somewhat in terms of understanding Rashi. And you see the Rambam is opening with the language of Yochanan. Fundamentally, it's true that there's one bracha for Shia, different bracha for Sharosh. It just usually doesn't come up. But Sach Mevarach Shtayim. If you talk as spoke, so then now, it's not just make another bracha, make a bracha on the Sharosh. So the appropriate bracha, the ideal bracha on Sharosh alone, is Al Mitzvah Tefillin. So this helps that it doesn't fully solve Nathan's question about the language of Choser Mevarich, which does sound like it may do the same thing. But on the other hand, it means you got to go back and make a bracha again. Now, but the most appropriate bracha now is no longer Laniach Tefillin. Now the most appropriate bracha is Al Mitzvah Tefillin. So the Rambam helps, the way the Rambam contextualizes everything, very subtly, helps us to make sense of Shitas Rashi, which next time we'll see that, as we mentioned, Reino Tam did not find Rashi to be a tenable position. And he offers a different shot, which is what Ashkenazim are used to, that you're always making the bracha al mitzvah tefillin on the Sharosh. Of course, the question is, but Rav Chissa didn't say that. He said, you only make the bracha if you're a sach. And what was Abai Rava's answer of sach mevarach shtayim? What does that mean? Rav Tam has a different approach to that, which will solve some problems and open up other ones, which I will get to that next time. Rabosha, thank you so much. Blinetter, I'll put out Mar Makomos. So if you want to work on the Sugya over the course of the coming week in preparation for jumping to Reino Tam, you'll have those Mar Makomos to work with.